Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to Friday Night Feels. I am licensed mental health counselor Patrick Manette and certified life coach. Just wanted to throw that in there. And it looks like I am going to be flying solo tonight. So I just wanted to connect and say hello. So my guest Samantha, I'm not sure if something happened. I reached out, but you know, probably life events just kind of took over. So we're hoping she's okay. And you know, maybe if it didn't work out for tonight, we'll have her come on another night. So one of the things is, you know, when something like this happens, it's kind of like the question of, do I just cancel or do I go live? So I work with an amazing, well, I have a couple coaches, but one of them, Stephanie. So sorry, it's been a long week, y'all. So Stephanie, she's always pushing us to go out of our comfort zone and do different things and to be able to use our platforms and to practice, you know, our skills and everything. So Stephanie, I'm dedicating the show to you. So hello. You know, and just for a reminder of people who might be watching the replay, and you know, just a reminder that we are on YouTube and all the podcast platforms. Friday Night Feels is a show that focuses on a variety of wellness related issues such as mental health, wellness, stress management, men's health, relationship issues, mindfulness, and much more. The focus of the show is to create connection and to be able to talk about issues that affect us all and how to be the healthiest versions of ourselves that we can be. Each show, I normally invite a guest to come and join me to discuss their experiences. So my guest, although you can't see her tonight, would probably be my wild beast of a dog, my partner in crime, Sally, who's wondering probably why I'm on the computer again and ignoring her. So don't worry, I'll give her some TLC and some snacks later. And it was funny because you know, one of the things that I was thinking about when I was actually taking Sally for a walk earlier, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this, of just being really tired and having not bad, you know, weeks, just hard. It's interesting. I think a lot of times when you say it's been a hard week or something, there's a negative connotation, right? But sometimes it's just hard. I mean, if you're in the North Country, last weekend it was stressful having minus 20 and so below degree weather and not having a lot of sunshine. And you know, it's just a difficult time of the year. It was 2 weeks ago we had the wellness fair for the fifth year, and that was amazing, and it was beautiful. And sorry, I'm jumping around a bit, but so I was walking, I'll get back to the wellness fair in a minute. So I was walking Sally and I was like, my gosh, I'm really tired. I don't know if I'm in the mood to do anything. You know, I have Friday Night Feels. And then I started to think about why I created Friday Night Feels. And I remember it was in March 2020 when everything was upside down. And one of the things, the components that was so difficult for me at that time was everything was just so silent. And there was this loss and there is this sort of fear and the unknown of what was going on in the world. And, you know, all of a sudden people that you were seeing on a regular basis are going shopping, grocery, you know, all this stuff, all the change, we all know this. And there was such a loss. And, you know, a friend and then a couple friends, you know, we were talking about this at different times, and the idea came up of, why don't you start a video show? And I was thinking about that tonight when I was walking Sally, trying not to die on the ice. If you're not in the North Country or not in the North Country at this time of the year, this is a really tricky time for dog walkers and people in general when you have to walk in the public streets, because the sidewalks look clear, but there's this deadly ice that's always hiding. So I'm trying to, you know, take care of her needs and just kind of processing the day. And there's just this moment of realization of, I created Friday Night Feels for exactly these types of nights when I'm feeling heavy, when I'm feeling disconnected, when I'm feeling emotional, you know, for a million different reasons. And And then, you know, my guest unfortunately didn't show up. So in honor of why I created Friday Night Feels, I just wanted to come live and say hello and touch base and carry on the energy. And actually, this is, just thinking about it, this is the first Friday Night Feels of 2023. So welcome. Welcome. And being able to just know that when I started this, it really was with the attempt to, in the goal and the spirit of creating connection, and especially during a difficult time. And it has become one of the most amazing adventures that I've ever experienced, right? So I was thinking about, you know, when people do lives, I'm not really good with the Instagram lives. I feel really awkward. I don't know why. You know, on the Insta, right? The Insta, you try to be hip, or I've never been hip, but that's okay. You all know me if you watched the show and listened. And I was thinking, what is it that I would want to talk about tonight? There's actually something that's been on my mind, and I just kind of wanted to throw it out to you, and you can share your thoughts in the Facebook page, or, you know, send it to me after. But there's something that I've been noticing a lot, this trend. And you know how social media is kind of strange, where it shows you random videos, which you don't think you were ever looking for, but then all of a sudden it's what your feed is filled with. And for some reason, I've been getting all of these videos that are, in one way or another, partners making fun of each other. Now, I'm always really careful to not judge, you know, when I'm seeing a video, you know, what's going on, what's happening. And just, you know, like anyone else, I like a good laugh. But the more and more that I was watching these videos, this wasn't about good humor. This was about someone being irritated with their partner and putting it on social media. And I'm not going to judge someone's journey if you express yourself the way you want to, but I keep seeing them, right? And it being February, the month of love, it's just kind of connecting to all the different components of, we're in the month of love. You're talking about someone that you love, but there's this really unloving, unkind message that you're sending to the world, that your partner's not behaving or doing what you want. And this wasn't just one video. It was another video and another video of all different people. Now, granted, I want to say, I like to share, there's this a bunch of videos where you can see it's the couple doing it together and they're having a really good time and they're laughing and they're having, you know, this joyous connection. And I love those. Because the world is so heavy and there's so much stress going on, if I'm looking to fill my cup on social media, I want joy, I want good humor, I want that connection. And so you might be asking me, well, why are you watching these videos? Because I wanted to see what the message was. You know, I was intrigued. What's promoting you? Like, what's the problem? And because I'm a couples therapist and I do couples coaching, I love working with couples. I want to be, you know, on the front line of saying, what are couples dealing with? Like, what is happening? How can I support them? If this was someone coming into one of my Hold Me Tight programs, which is coming up, and I want to talk about that too, or reaching out for help or joining my newsletter or, you know, joining, you know, Friday Night Feels, what are some issues that they're facing? So, you know, we see financial, we see family issues, we see parenting issues a lot, but those videos weren't that. They were taking a different approach to criticizing a partner. And then, just because I was kind of nosy, I'm not going to lie, I started reading a lot of the comments and, you know, people agreeing or people bashing the video or criticizing all of this. And once again, I'm not going to judge someone's approach to how they express themselves. But what I did walk away from is, it's fine if you're doing these videos, right? But you're losing an opportunity to connect to your partner. You know, you're losing the opportunity to figure out, if I'm telling my partner that I have this need, if I'm expressing something and he or she or they are not hearing me, what are we going to do about that? You know, if I'm invested in this relationship and I'm pissed off or I'm angry or I'm feeling neglected, turning to social media is not going to be the answer. And there might be people out there who completely disagree with me, and that's fine. But the reason I'm saying it is because that's not going to fill your cup. And if I were the partner watching these videos, I might get angry, but I would also feel hurt, and I would feel humiliated and really, really sad that there's something missing in my relationship that you have to turn to strangers to kind of fill your cup, right? To fill that fulfillment. And so I just kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit tonight and look at why is it so difficult for us to talk about conflict with our partner? Why is there so much fear in being able to say something's not working, right? Something isn't being fulfilled. And, oh, sorry, my computer's being weird. Give me 1 second. I think I just turned off the live. Sorry, just give me 1 second, folks. Sorry, technical. Okay, I believe I'm live, so we're just going to go with that. So, you know, as we're talking about it, again, it just hurts when I see this stuff, right? Because I know what couples go through, and I know how difficult it is to deal with loss, to deal with pain in relationship, to deal with difference of opinion. And that's why, I always tell the story when I offer an Hold Me Tight program, that when for a long time I was, working with couples, and I felt like I was missing something because the pain wasn't getting healed, right? Like couples were, you know, it just wasn't getting better. Everything that I was doing, it just felt like I was putting not necessarily Band-Aids on wounds, but I was missing. Where are these wounds coming from? Why isn't this pain getting better? Why are couples? And then I would just look at the couples, not just, you know, in my family and in my friends and the people around me. And, you know, I would go to stores or, you know, interactions, and I would just see couples, and it just sort of, you know, and just kind of interact, and the beauty and the love and the fighting and the passion. And, you know, so I decided to get certified as a couples therapist with emotional focused therapy. And I absolutely fell in love with it. And they offer this program, which I offer now, is called Hold Me Tight. And if you want, you know, if you have a chance, go onto my website and you can see some of the testimonials. And when I started to offer Hold Me Tight, it was really funny talking about 2020, is I remember I was getting ready to launch Hold Me Tight in the North Country. I was so excited. I just met with Chef Curtis, who runs the Carriage House, cooking school in Peru, New York. I just connected with him. I'll never forget this day. I just met him in his beautiful kitchen. He was so warm and inviting, and he was telling me what he was doing with these amazing classes, you know, cooking and making pizza. And it was the perfect scenario, especially if you know me and I'm a foodie. And, you know, we were talking about, well, what if I started doing Hold Me Tight, offering Hold Me Tight, and then being able to incorporate Sally, just looking for some attention. And I wanted to offer Hold Me Tight. And then I thought it'd be really fun to incorporate a cooking class with Chef Curtis. And I just remember sitting in that space, and I was really excited because this program was revolutionary. And I fell in love with it. It's probably one of the most beautiful and powerful courses that I've ever seen since entering this field, the human service field. And then I think within 2 weeks, everything shut down. And it took me a while because it took my breath away of, oh man, we were going to do this. This is going to be a really cool experience. This was going to open the door for couples. And I was so excited to bring it to my area. And so I decided to offer it online. And it was amazing. And it was incredible. And for those of you who may not be familiar with it, there's so many different ways to do it, to offer it. It's a course that's that helps couples not only identify the negative cycle that they fall into or the negative dance, but it actually gives you the skills to figure out what's causing it, what's created it, and to how to create a love map to get out of it. And my dream when I started, before I met with Chef Curtis, was I was just imagining, you know, sort of like in the movies of let's go somewhere tropical where there's a pool and you can, you know, get massages or you can go snorkeling. And unfortunately, the way the world happened, that didn't unfold yet. And so I decided to offer it online. And in the way that the course goes is that you don't, you know, if you and your partner are doing it, there's no video or audio on your end. And so it's just sort of like you and your partner and taking a course with me, guiding you. And I broke it up into 8 weeks. So that way, instead of having to worry about, especially at that time with, you know, everyone was at home and COVID was just insane, I wanted to create a way. I wanted to honestly overcome every obstacle that couples face. And one of my strengths that I feel like I bring to the table is any obstacle that you present, I'm going to work with you to figure out how we can overcome that. Because obstacles sometimes are just the stepping stones that help us to get where we need to be, such as maybe for tonight, not having my co-host, maybe I just needed to come on for my healing and to maybe connect with someone who needed to hear me tonight. I don't know. You know, there's always a reason, right? And so I started offering Hold Me Tight. And now 3 years later, I've offered it numerous times and done it in so many different ways and tweak it a little bit. But I offer it in an hour and a half intervals. So that way parents don't have to worry about childcare for that long, or it, you know, it could be their date night. It doesn't have to be expensive to be able to invest in the wealth of your relationship. And the more I do Hold Me Tight, and this is what I love about what I do, whether it's therapy or coaching or consultation, is I love connecting with people in general, but how much I can grow from them. And it keeps me humble and passionate because everybody has a story. Everyone has an adventure. Everyone has wounds. Everyone has this unique beauty. And for a short amount of time, I get to be part of their journey. I get to hopefully help them create the relationship of their dreams. That's my goal. When I'm coaching couples, that is my goal, to help you create the relationship of your dreams. Because you deserve it. We all do. And, you know, so I'm planning to do, you know, Valentine's Day. It's like, I got to tell you, this year I got hooked up with a friend of mine. For all of you who know me, that I know love food and love chocolate, a friend of mine sent me the best, I'll have to post a picture of the best chocolates. So I've been enjoying those this year and having a really good time. I didn't have to wait until the 15th to get them on sale, as I've written about in my newsletter. So I've been enjoying Valentine's Day so far. But also, there's a lot of pressure on Valentine's Day. So I'm not only seeing these videos where people are criticizing their partners in kind of a destructive way, I'm also seeing a lot of posts from friends and colleagues about Valentine's Day and the expectations and the bitterness and the anger and the desire. And, you know, when you read some of these posts, you can say, man, this person's really a jackass, or wow, they're so angry, or yeah, they're right. I'm so sick of, you know, being alone or having a partner who doesn't value me, or whatever it is. But when I read this stuff, I just see the pain, you know, and I see miscommunication and I see emotional disconnection. Because if you want to celebrate Valentine's Day, if you want the rainbows and the magic, You have every right to want that. But you have to make sure you're with a partner who knows that and who wants something similar. One of the things that I hear so often, and in my coaching, I focus on, apart from working with couples, I work with men who don't want therapy but need support. And one of the, and I'm getting to meet these incredible men from all over the world. And I was just a guest, you know, on this amazing podcast that the whole purpose of the podcast is to help decrease male suicide rates by the year 2030. And we're having, Andrew is his name, and we're having this amazing discussion about relationships and expectations. And one of the things that he brought up was, you know, that belief that men aren't emotional, they aren't romantic, and their partners are constantly saying they're doing something wrong, or they're not demonstrative enough with their emotions. So I'm having these conversations with different people. I'm seeing that there are valid concerns. Like when people are writing about, you know, my partner's not doing this, or I'm not feeling fulfilled. Again, I'm not judging that. When I'm looking at it, I'm taking it all in. Because my question is what's missing that we can't have the relationship that we want, that we can't have the relationship we deserve? What's missing? And I think every situation is a little bit different, but it just makes me sad because this month of love and romance and magic and passion and connection gets turned into comparison and judgment and harshness and disappointment and sadness and loss and emotional disconnection. Not all over the place, but I'm seeing enough of it to see that it's a common problem. And so it just kind of gives me pause to try to figure out, so what more can we do? What more do couples need to become fulfilled, to find satisfaction, to find joy again in love? So we go to the grocery store right after, what was it? I think it was right after New Year's, I started seeing the red hearts, right? I don't know about where you are, but the grocery stores were ready for Valentine's Day. So there's a lot of pressure, right? Like Valentine's Day and do this and all of these expectations. And I think everyone deserves to be treated like a king and a queen and you know, filled with romance and love. But romance and love and magic have to be real. It isn't something that we can just wish for. When I'm offering Hold Me Tight, one of the stories I always talk about is that when I was growing up, I loved movies, I loved Disney, I loved anything like with magic and the happily ever after. But I didn't realize inadvertently that I was developing the belief system that I had to be worthy of love, that I had to be good enough, that I had to change something in myself. So maybe it wasn't with the magic wand, but if I changed how I looked, or if I changed how I acted, or if I did these things, then love would find me. But that it would be a diamond in the rough, that I would, you know, my happily ever after. And I see that with so many couples. That there's this desire to be loved, this desire to love. But I think there's some missing conversations there. And I always joke that the first animated film that I ever saw that really talked about adult relationships was probably Shrek. Like, I love you, but I want to be in my swamp. I love you, but I don't want to deal with your parents. I love you. I love the kids, but I don't want to be around you. I'm twisted. You know, I'm struggling with my own emotional issues, and I want to be there for you, and I don't know how to be there. And I remember being an adult and watching Shrek and seeing, and then, you know, when I started working more with couples of saying, oh my God, this is totally real. This is like, forget the, you know, and then they started bringing the other Disney characters in, and you saw that happily ever after isn't just, it doesn't just happen. It's created and it's maintained And one of the, you know, questions that I love asking couples when I'm doing Hold Me Tight and when I'm offering couples coaching is, how much are you willing to invest in your relationship? And I want you just to think about that as I ask that now. How much are you willing to invest in your relationship? And I don't want you to go to the negative Nellies and be like, well, I've invested so much, or he or she hasn't. It's like, we're not talking about that. How much are you willing to invest in your relationship? Right? Even asking that question gives me pause and takes my breath away, because it wasn't anything I ever asked or heard growing up. And you hear a lot of phrases and quotes and comparisons. And I remember someone said to me, you know, relationships aren't 50-50. Relationships are 100 and 100%, because it's not a perfect balance all the time. And I loved that. And what I love and what I try to share with people is that it doesn't mean I can give 100%, 100% of the time. It means when I some days can only give 50, my partner is going to be there, hopefully, to do the 150, to do the other part. And when they're not able to do their part, I'm supposed to be there to do that. And we balance each other out, right? The balance goes ups and down. It's not just stagnant. And a lot of the conversations that we have in Hold Me Tight are conversations that most couples have never had, such as, what are you willing to invest in your relationship? And what role are you playing in your relationship? What role does your partner play in your relationship? How are we, and once again, I try to be the most judgmental free zone when we're talking about this, because I know it's vulnerable, it's painful, when it's embarrassing sometimes when you have to get support, which I'm just going to say as a little note here is, you know, we need to get rid of that shame and that fear. And I'm saying this for all couples coaches, you know, and, you know, therapists, priests, rabbis, anyone that works with couples, you know, the idea is we're there for you. And it shouldn't be just when your marriage is in peril or when you're afraid of losing your relationship. People should be able to, just like therapy, right? Or just coaching or any type of support. We all deserve that support. I remember I had one guest on Friday Night Feels a while ago, and we were talking about coaching and we were talking about support. And it was during, I don't remember when it was. Sorry, my reference point's getting lost. But it was during the Olympic Games, right? And he said, what do you notice every Olympian has with them? And I thought for a moment, and he said, they all have a coach. They all have a team of support. And that just blew my mind, because I never connected that. Of course they do. Like, Olympians would never go to the Olympics without their coach, without their team, without their supports. And even though we all may not be Olympians, don't we deserve the same dignity? Don't we deserve the same support? Don't our relationships deserve the same? And the reason I say that is in the spirit of healing, of advocacy. So when we're talking about getting help, when we're talking about getting support, when we're talking about acknowledging and honoring, it's okay to not know what we don't know. And I think that contributes to a lot of the fear and a lot of the continuing of old patterns and old behaviors, that we think if we just keep pushing our nose to the grindstone and keep working and working and working, then the problem is going to get resolved. But what's really happening is we're missing the moments of connection. We're missing that opportunity to be able to connect to our partner and to learn and to be able to say, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. Do you? I remember this one time I was, you know, talk about going out of the comfort zone, being able to say, where was I? I don't know much about cars, right? I don't know. I never learned. I admire people who do. It was just nothing I ever did. I figured I'm bringing this to a mechanic. This is their expertise. I'm going to trust them. And if I have questions, you know, we'll learn together. And I remember one time, you know, that I brought the car in and there was something wrong with it. And the mechanic was explaining it to me. And I said, I don't know what that means. And I have to tell you, is that kind of, you know, going for couples, but also for men here, is being able to tell someone you don't know what that means as a man is really difficult. It's really hard because we get the message our whole lives that we're supposed to know everything at every time. And when we don't know something, there's a great deal of shame. So this was the exercise. I was trying to learn how to overcome the shame of not knowing something. Because when we don't know something, we don't just fake it because we want to be a jackass. We fake it because it's painful and we don't want to let the people we know down. So if your partner is a male and they've ever said, I don't know, or, you know, be gentle with them. Because if they're telling you, and this is something I work with in Hold Me Tight, is being able to normalize saying, I don't know, because that's better than silence and it's better than stonewalling and it's better than just getting angry and pissed off. So just a little tip there. So anyway, picture it. I'm in the mechanic's office or, you know, garage, and he's explaining something to me. And I said, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. And he totally just stopped. Like he didn't know what to say at first, because I think he was so surprised. It was just like this moment of like, we just sort of looked at each other. I'm like, oh shit, I'm in this. I can't be like, just kidding, I know what that is. I'm like, of course the calibrator and the moderator and the hip bones connected to the, you know, going into conjunction function, what's your function, whatever bloody song I think of at the time. I wanted to know, you're the expert on this, sir, teach me. And that was hard, but I did it. And then another quick story, I was in Best Buy and the same thing happened. I don't know the last time you've gone for electronics. I don't consider myself old, but I had an old moment where, you know, the guy was really well-informed. You know, he was speaking, they call him the geek squad. So he was speaking it fluently. And I didn't have my translator. I remember he just said something and I just stopped. I said, I don't know what that means. And the shame was still there a little bit, but it wasn't as strong because I was actually more frustrated because I was able to connect to that it was more frustrating that I wasn't able to understand in a process that in my mind should have been easy was becoming complicated for some reason. So my two options at that moment would have been just to get pissed off and leave and not buy anything, but I needed the laptop. So again, I had to take that dose of humility and say, I don't know what this means. I don't know what that is. And again, saying that to another man stopped him in his tracks. And it was a little uncomfortable for both of us, but then he took a breath. And I noticed he started speaking slower to me, not in a condescending way, but saying, oh, okay, let's go another direction with this. And I ended up getting the computer. So what does that have to do with what I'm talking about tonight? It has to talk about vulnerability and being able to know it's really hard to know for myself as a man that it's difficult to say, I don't know, in some circumstances. So imagine when you're in a relationship, right? And this is what I love. Any couple I ever meet, I love to know how they fell in love. It's just the best. It's just the best. And that's, you know, I love asking friends that. I love, I remember, you know, there's one time I was at my parents' house visiting. I was just going through some books and I found this album. I thought it was a photo album. And it was actually, I can't remember what it was called. There's a specific name for it, but it was basically the pre-wedding album my parents had put together. And I have to tell you, it was just, it was wild. And I was learning by the pictures and the notes, like how my own parents fell in love. So in that moment, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that, you know, seeing your parents as human or, you know, like we see, it was like mom and dad or mom and dad, you know, whatever your relationship is. And like they existed before me, excuse me, mom and dad, you know, it's one of those moments, like I'm sure if your parents, you've experienced this and maybe you've experienced this with your own parents of, oh my gosh, they like dated, they like fell in love. And it was just like the most beautiful thing. And the more couples that I work with and the more stories I hear, how much amazing power and love and hope and resilience is born out of love. And how much fear and worry and pain and struggles couples go through, right? And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm not in a good place or I'm not in balance, those fears and those lies that our brains can tell us seem like they're true. And those erode our emotional connection to our partners. And so that fulfillment, that emotional safety seems to sort of melt away a little bit. So it goes back to that question, what are you willing to invest in your relationship? Is it, I'm willing to invest the money to do this. I'm willing to invest the time. I'm willing to do this journey with you because I know it's going to be uncomfortable and maybe painful, but I'm going to do that because that investment is going to save us a whole bunch of pain. Right? And I think that's part of the story that gets lost in Valentine's Day. It's not about roses and chocolates and poetry. And if you love that, love it and own it and enjoy it. But that's not what this is about for me. That's not what Valentine's Day is about. It's about magic and friendship and connection and passion and fun. You know, sorry, I just had a moment. I feel like I'm in a soapbox, but that's okay. It's my podcast, so I can be. See, that little doubt just comes in, everyone. Like, it happens to all of us at any time. So I hope I'm not sounding too preachy. It's just kind of, I'm speaking from my heart tonight of just, you know, what's kind of been in my mind, you know, when I started this talking about the videos, it hurts because what's happened that we can't talk to each other. Another question that I love to ask is, who taught you how to forgive? And you might say, what does that have to do with love? And what does that have to do with relationships? And I think it has to do with all of it, right? If I haven't learned how to forgive myself, if I haven't learned how to forgive others, how can I ever have a healthy relationship? And you see different things in the world, right? You see different coping skills and different mechanisms and approaches of what we learn and what we see and what we grow up. And, you know, we leave some things and we take some things and then, you know, we get influenced by the people in our lives. And, you know, if I haven't learned how to forgive, and I'm going to go back on the man platform here for a second and just kind of share my experiences as a man, if that's helpful to anyone. A lot of the things that I hear, and this wasn't, and I have to say, it's not from a particular person. Like, it wasn't, you know, my father never told me, you know, don't forgive it. It wasn't anything like that. You know, I learned, and I'm openly about this, I grew up Catholic, right? So if you're Catholic, you learn about reconciliation, you learn about about penance, you learn that at a young age, you learn about apologizing. But what I somehow missed, so I can give a hell of an apology if I need to, just so you know, like I know how to like do it, right? And then pray really quickly. But it doesn't work. And I'm not saying it, you know, to question anyone's faith, but it didn't work for me because it didn't get the pain out. And then it didn't really help me to figure out how to have empathy for someone that I had hurt. So the expectation, and maybe some of you can relate to this, is, well, if you love me, you're supposed to just know what I meant. Or if you love me, you're supposed to just forgive me. Or do I really need to say I'm sorry when you know that I am? Yeah. Yes. I remember listening to a talk show radio host person, and this person was writing in and saying, oh, I just want someone to accept me for who I am and what I am. And my thought was, well, no, that's not fair. Just like expecting someone to not have to forgive me, for me to not have to apologize, for my partner to not have to apologize ever to me, that's not fair. That's not giving me or my partner or our relationship the dignity it deserves, right? So yeah, unfortunately, we have to eat crow. And believe me, I it sucks, right? Especially when you want to be right, okay? Like, I'm not competitive, but I like to win. But you know what I learned is, wow, I can win an argument, but what am I losing? So maybe I get the crown and the scepter and, you know, I won the battle, I won this fight, but that relationship took the beating. And if that happens over and over again, when the bad stuff happens, it's not going to be there to bounce back. And then when the good stuff happens, it's going to be even harder to connect because the damage has been done. So, and you know, so like kind of jumping a little bit into the comment that I was sharing of, you know, I want someone just to love me and accept me as I am. I don't know what that means. And when I hear that, and again, it was in a radio show, so I didn't get the whole story. So don't judge me for my judgment. But I hear it all the time, right? And I'm sure some of you have heard that. I just want someone to accept me for who I am and all of my baggage. And my initial response, based on what I have learned, because I have done that romanticizing, I've done that wishing, I've done that projection. And what I really needed in that moment was a mirror and for someone to say, you need to start loving yourself first, right? You need to start accepting yourself first. And I remember, again, I was on another fateful trip, walking Sally. And I remember I was just processing that because it really just stuck with me, that comment, because I just kept hearing it, you know, like I want someone to love me and accept me and, you know, just accept me for who I am. And my reaction, you know, as I was dissecting it was also, I don't want someone's acceptance to fulfill me, because then they can take it away. And then I'm back to ground zero. I don't think that's a phrase. Sorry, I messed it up. I'm back to zero. I would have nothing again because they could take that away. And also, that's giving someone a lot of power. And we don't see it, right? Because we romanticize it. And we fantasize about it. And we add this magical component that our white knight is supposed to come and save us. We have to be our own white knight. Because if we're not loving ourselves, if we're not accepting ourselves, if we're not supporting ourselves, a healthy relationship isn't really that possible, is it? Now, we all have faults. We all have idiosyncrasies. We all have issues. We all have stories. We all have histories. We all have wounds. We all have adventures. We all have loves and passions. And yes, someone, if we're in a romantic relationship with, has to be able to say, hey, I get this. This is who you are. This is your story. But their acceptance isn't going to define me. And their rejection isn't going to define me either. because I love myself. And I think when we're talking about romantic relationships, when we're talking about long-term relationships or serious relationships or marriage, you know, the question that so many people struggle with is, well, who are you in the relationship? What are you bringing to the table? Good, bad, and in between. And we get into that, you know, like that pink cloud of the relationship. And I remember I was talking to someone, I think it was like maybe at a wellness fair or something like that. And, you know what it was now that I remember? I was talking to someone about offering Hold Me Tight, being a vendor at a bridal shower. You know, first of all, I kind of wanted to do it to see if anyone had cake samples. I'm not going to lie, because it's like, you know, it just kind of sounds fun. There was a caterer, just needed a sampler. You know, I would have volunteered. But I was thinking about doing that in the future of offering Hold Me Tight before you get married, right? So take this course so you really have a strong foundation. And remember I said that to someone and they were almost... they weren't offended. They were sort of shocked because they thought, well, I thought that was just for couples who were going to get divorced or are going to lose each other. And I said, no, it's for any couple of any shape, size, background, to create the relationship of your dreams. And when I'm introducing Hold Me Tight to someone, I say it this way. Again, another food analogy. It's like I'm giving you that basket of ingredients, and you and your partner get to decide what you want to make with it. And learning how to conquer with having support that fear that prevents you from having the painful discussions. Because when you create a strong foundation, you know, it sets you up for a lifetime of romance and magic and love and passion. And it makes that connection between the two of you so much stronger for when the storms of life are hitting. So it doesn't matter if you've been together for 6 months, 6 years, or six decades. We all can learn how to revitalize our passion, our love, and our connection to our partner. Going back to one of my original questions is, what are you willing to invest in your relationship? One of the hardships that I see sometimes with couples is life gets in the way, right? And I remember, I think it was maybe in grad school or maybe before that, you know, I was just having conversations about relationships, specifically with parents. And there's always that debate, right, of, well, who's the priority, your partner or your children? And I remember that there was like this push of, well, the children's the priority. We have to put the children first. We have to do this. And, you know, I didn't really understand at that time, but I don't agree with that. I think your relationship has to be a priority, because the relationship is the foundation for your family. And it's also like bullshit and nonsense that we think we have to decide, you know, like it's, you know, like let's go with the limitations. It isn't questioning your love for your children and your child, but people get tired, right? Like how many of you who might be listening to this are just tired? Like you're just physically tired. You know, and the idea of having to say, well, you know, do we do the homework with Junior tonight or do we go on date night? Well, Junior's the priority, so we got to do that. And I get that 100%. And then my question is, so when is the time for the relationship? Where is the investment? It's sort of like if you bought a plant and you never watered it or gave it light or talked to it or, you know, it's going to die. That's what your relationship is. You have to nurture it. You have to tend to it. You have to get it nutrients and light so it can prosper and grow and bloom and live to its fulfillment. but if we don't tend to the garden, it can't grow. And so, you know, this is one little tip that I share. In the term, you know, I have to come up with a different term that we use a lot in the couples world is, you know, are you having a date night? And, you know, I used it, and there's like a lot of privilege there to say that, like, that you can, I mean, that's a privilege to be able to say, I can go and have a date night with my partner. And, you know, I made that mistake, and I'm learning how to, you know, update and evolve that. And again, I haven't come up with a phrase. So what I say is have a date night moment. I know it doesn't sound smooth, but give me some time. It's Friday night. Okay. Have moments of connection. And people, when I say, and this is what I learned, that I was wrong in how I was saying this, you know, to have date night. Okay. When COVID was shut down, it's like, where are we going to do date night? In the closet? Like, you know, we can't leave the kids. We can't go out. You know, restaurants are closed. So I thought, well, what do I know about, you know, I grew up in a large family, and, you know, so what can we do? Well, is that date night energy meeting your partner at 10 o'clock or midnight and sharing an ice cream cone in the fridge? Is it reading an inspirational memo before the day starts? Is it having a moment of prayer before you have a meal? Is it sending romantic memes or a poem that you found, or a joke, or sending a picture of something that reminds you of when you were dating? You know, there's a million different ways to do this. And all I'm asking them to do is to put that investment there. It's not, I don't want you to worry about money. I don't want you to worry about childcare. I don't want you to worry about whether you can go to a restaurant or want to. But there's so many different ways where you and your partner can find moments of connection. And trust me, those moments of connection are more powerful and more beautiful than the biggest demonstration that you can fantasize about. And if you can do those big demonstrations, live it up and enjoy it. But you need to have those moments of connection much more often. I mean, basically like a vitamin L. That's what I should call it, vitamin L moments. Yeah, thanks, guys. Sometimes I just have to talk it through. And being able to say, hey, I'm just going to put this intention here and I'm not going to overthink it. Because here's the biggest secret that I love sharing with couples. You know your partner. You do. You know what they love. You know what they're afraid of. You know what they don't like. When we're in a fight, we can use that against them, which doesn't work. So why not use it for good and for love to develop the relationship you both want and deserve? So I hope, you know, I remember, it's funny, whenever I do Friday Night Feels, it reminds me of the movie Julie and Julia. I don't know if any of you saw that. Again, about Julia Child, of course, it's about food, but the other character starts a blog. And there's this one line, and if anyone's done a blog, podcast, anything, there's always that doubt and that I'm going to get to in a minute. And she says it perfectly when she's writing something. She's having this, you know, cool revelation, and she's writing and, you know, hello, is anyone out there? Is anyone reading this? So, you know, one of the things that I think of is like, okay, so is anyone listening? And it doesn't even matter anymore, does it? That's what you learn. You put it out there, and the person or the people who are meant to hear it will. And sometimes what I've learned, especially during Friday Night Feels for 3 years, is sometimes the message is something that I've needed. And I just think that's beautiful to be able to just spend time with you if you're listening or watching and having fun on a Friday night. And I'm just really grateful for the people who take time to write to me if there's something on Friday Night Feels or a guest that is connected with you. You know, that helps inspire me to keep going when I have those moments of doubt, and hopefully to reach people who might need something, and to know that we're not alone. You know, that's why I created Friday Night Feels, for those moments where, you know, we felt alone, and to connect and to share our stories and our adventures, and to make a world that's really hard maybe just a little less harsh for one day. So, you know, I've talked about it tonight, so I'm going to be posting the information for Hold Me Tight starting in March online. If anyone's interested, please reach out to me. And just a deep gratitude for everyone who does listen and watch the YouTube channel or the podcast, and, you know, all the platforms we're on. I'm just so supportive. I'm so appreciative of your support. So thank you for listening to my soapbox of Friday Night Feels tonight about different things about love and romance, and hopefully helping couples create the relationship of their dreams. And I hope you all have a beautiful weekend. And whether I have a guest or not, I will see you in 2 weeks on Friday Night Feels. I hope you all have a beautiful weekend. Take care.